Hey!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
God, number 62.
Case closed.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is he able to grip the football now?
No, not well enough to play.
I'm not saying Dak loses his gig. I'm saying, what is the rush?
Earlier on the show, from CBS's East New York, actor Jimmy Smits. Still to come, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, comedian and actor Mo Ammer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air live from Los Angeles, California. We just said goodbye to Jimmy Smits, and pour one out for us because we miss him already, and he's been only gone 10 minutes. What a delightful interview. What a delightful human. He didn't even want to talk about himself. And that's the point of being interviewed on these shows, right? Is to talk about yourself.
Kind of why you come on these, right?
Right. Yeah. Certainly when you're talking celebrity true or false, and, you know, I was at Gregory Peck's house and once watched him do karaoke with
Quincy
Jones and Sidney Poitier.
Good job picking up on who Q was. I was racking my brain.
Well, he said Quincy at the beginning.
Oh, he did? Oh,
did he know
his
he said just Q.
I thought he just said Q.
Oh, maybe it's just because I knew.
When you're talking about old Hollywood and you're saying Q and you're talking music,
I think Del Tufo and I both just instantly.
Well, Q too. Today's James Bond Day, so I was thinking about Q from James Bond.
Yes, very good. Is today James Bond's Day?
It was trending.
Is it because it's 1007 today? Is that what it is?
Not yet. Today's the 5th.
Maybe
Bond Day is Friday.
Today the 5th?
Today's the 5th, Rich.
I plead the 5th.
Rich, I get Jimmy Smits. So sometimes, you know, you want to tell stories and then someone else is dropping people's names and you're kind of like, I don't necessarily want to say what it was.
I don't know. Does that mean I don't have a problem dropping names?
You never.
No, I don't.
I mean, I've known you a long time now. You've never.
I mean, Ashton's name has been on the floor over there so many times that you can't even pick it up.
But the fact is, you're throwing it. I'm not dropping it. You know, there's a difference. I don't drop it.
That's exactly it.
Guilty as charged, sir. Guilty as charged.
Exactly. TJ
Guilty
says
as
it,
charged.
And then it's like,
oh, man. All right, let's get to it. Because this guy was in the building last night when Aaron Judge went yard for his 62nd time this year. And the ball landed up in the hands of a vice president of a hedge fund. Is that the most 21st century story you've ever heard or what? On the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, one of our favorites. The MLB insider of insiders of the worldwide leader in sports, none other than Jeff Passan, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Jeff?
Not as good as that guy.
Right? I mean, is that the most 21st century story that the baseball winds up in the hands of a vice president of a hedge fund sitting out there in left field? I mean,
it's wild. I was out there last night trying to find him, trying to find the ball. You know, he went to security. I was standing outside a door, and it turns out it was in front of a completely empty room. I was standing there for like 45 minutes. It was pretty pathetic. And then when I realized that nobody was in the room, I went over to the area, and the security guy was being a hardo, because what are ballpark security guys if not complete hardos? And wasn't letting me go down to the front row where it was caught. So I was just waiting up in the concourse, like, creepishly looking down to see if anybody in the first couple rows was going to come up to grab a beer or something. And I see this father and his sons walking up, and I just wanted to know, like, was it a clean catch? Did you see it? And the guy says to me, it was clean, and I thought I had it. And sometimes the journalism gods smile on you, Rich. And it was the guy who was right next to the guy who caught it. This guy was a left-hander, so he's coming in from the left side, glove on his right hand. The other guy who caught it is a right-hander, and he's coming in from the right side with the glove on his left hand.
That's it.
And their gloves, if you go and Zapruder the video, their gloves met. And this guy I was talking with said he thought, like, he played outfield in college, so he knows what it feels like to catch a baseball, and he felt like he had something in his glove, and then he looked into it, and there was nothing there. And it crushed him because the other guy was wearing a Rangers hat. He was an enormous Yankees fan, and he had talked to the 13-year-old son. If we catch the ball, like, we know we're in these seats, we know we're in the right vicinity, if we catch the ball, what are we going to do? And his son had gone back and forth on it. He was giving up the idea, you know, he was giving up the decision to his son, to a 13-year-old. And the kid said, if we can get into the clubhouse and get to meet Aaron Judge, we will give him the ball back. And Aaron Judge was that close to getting his 62nd home run ball. And instead, it's probably going to end up at Notch.
Well, I mean, Judge said after the game, hey, it's the fan's souvenir. You know, I'd love to have it, but, you know, it is a souvenir for a fan, and that's it.
I'm sort of two minds on this. I understand how capitalism works, and if you find a $1 million lottery ticket on the ground, then that is fortune smiling on you. And anytime anybody comes into possession of something that's worth a lot, good for him or her. On the other hand, I was talking with someone with the Yankees last night, and he's like, you know, this ball represents all of the hard work and achievement that Aaron Judge has had in 2022, and it would just be really nice for him to have it. And thankfully, Aaron Judge is going to be signing a $300 million contract this offseason, so I guess he can buy it if he wants.
Well, how about this, Jeff? I don't know. I mean, you are one of the things that makes you so unique is you're part historian and part reporter. So has anybody ever exchanged an historic home run ball for the right to manage the player's portfolio? How about that, right? So.
You know what? That's actually
that would
be a really good trade, Rich. I like that idea.
What about that? I mean, Judge is about to hit it, and part of the reason why he's about to hit it is everything and all the toiling of the 62 home run season. That's it. So Judge gives him his just one retirement account. Just one. That's it.
That being said, is it ever a good idea to start off a financial arrangement with somebody?
You're asking somebody who lives in Los Angeles. Half the people I know have a marriage like that. What are you talking about, Jeff? Come on, good Lord. You just described half of the town we're living in. All right.
It's me and my Midwestern night.
What are you? You're such an idealist. So let's get to the moment itself, because to me it was just it was awesome. But I'm a Yankee fan, so it was me and my kids jumping around in a living room. That was it for me. It was awesome, you know. And I'm wondering, you know, what you make of the whole to do over a 62nd home run. I kind of saw your Twitter feed. We'll get to that in a second, but. What does this home run mean to you, Jeff?
To me, it was a capper on one of the great all-time offensive seasons. We can get into where this stands in history, but I think there are different perspectives with which we can look at history. And for me, history is this very unique sliver of time that we're in right now, where the average fastball is 94 miles an hour and you regularly see 100. Breaking balls that have been developed in pitching labs are moving with speed and spin like we've never seen before. The offensive environment in baseball is down a quarter run a game this year. And Aaron Judge literally and figuratively towers over the rest of baseball. He is so good right now. He has been so locked in this season. And just from the perspective of, we like comparing history and baseball more than any other sport, and this number 61, regardless of Barry Bonds being the all-time undisputed home run king, both single season as well as for a career. I don't think Barry Bonds' presence diminishes what 62 means. I think 62 can be a special number, and Barry Bonds can be a record holder, and that two things can exist at once.
Well, the way I started the show, Jeff, and I'll just tell it to you here, since you know you're there in the state of Texas doing your own thing, is when any announcer is saying American League record, to me, you could just insert the word clean. That's the difference. That's
no,
what. Yes, no, that's no, what I believe. No, that's what no, I believe,
Rich,
Jeff.
No.
Absolutely,
Rich. Do you like?
That's what
the
I believe.
The problem with trying to bifurcate this record is yes. that. It opens up a Pandora's box that you just don't want to open. You just don't want to, because what is history if not filled with ugliness? Ugliness with which we have to reckon, yes, but ugliness nevertheless. The idea that there are two like different types of sport. If you're going to do this, Rich, mm-hmm. then let's talk about the clean championships for the New York Yankees, right? This is the Pandora's box you're opening now by saying that it's the clean record. In 2009, the New York Yankees had four either penalized or accused performance-enhancing drug users on their championship roster. In 2000, it was 10. In 1999, it was 6. In 1998, it was 3. In 1996, it was 2. Does that mean that the last clean New York Yankees championship was 1978? Yes. And do we have to partition these things off?
No, because that's a team record, Jeff.
But Rich, you can't have one without the other. The implication is that there are clean sporting events, clean players, clean whatever you want to have it, and there are dirty. And that this is a very black and white line that you're drawing in a subject that is imbued with gray. We just can't separate these things and be intellectually honest about it. And that's my problem with what Roger Maris Jr. said about the clean record. Like, let's acknowledge that Barry Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs that helped him. I'm totally on board with saying that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it colors the record that he set, right?
Yes.
But it doesn't invalidate it. It doesn't erase it. You can't do that in history. History has all sorts of nasty, awful things that happen in it. Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs, a record at the time, without black players in the league. Like, you want to talk about like history that is sordid and screwed up. It's the fact that we as America were so broken as a country back in the 1920s and back in 1927 that we couldn't accept people into this league because of their skin color. And if you want to talk about performance-enhancing drugs, Rich, Babe Ruth's performance-enhancing drug was fastballs that came in at 85 miles an hour.
No, and I hear you. I get it. I understand it. I'm just also telling you there is a large section of the baseball-loving nation,
yes,
of which we're both part, that 1,000% in terms of an individual achievement, a single yep. player doing one single thing, hitting home runs over a wall in a single season. One guy had a trapezoidal head when he came into the league. He did not. And another guy has looked exactly the way he's looked since he came into the league. And that guy just hit 62 home runs. And when somebody's saying it's a new American League record, yes, that is true. There is a National League record that is the all-time record. But that's also, you can insert the word clean. That is the communication happening.
Can you, though? Can you? And I asked this I asked this looking back at 1998 when Patricia Maris, Roger Maris's widow, mm-hmm. was on the road with Mark McGwire,
yes.
and celebrating everything he was doing and getting caught up. And this is not to imply, I believe Aaron Judge is clean. I believe that Aaron Judge does not use performance-enhancing drugs. But the definitiveness with which people say stuff like this, I also believe that Fernando Tatis Jr. would never, ever use performance-enhancing drugs. And, well, he's out right now because of them. And so I think it's a hubristic thing to sit there and say that this is clean when
we
know
don't
nothing
know.
About it.
I know.
And
I hear you.
And when, by the way, the different gradients of clean – come down as much to what the FDA does and does not approve as anything. And I'm sorry, but I don't want the Federal Drug Administration to be the arbiter of my sporting records. I just don't want that. I sit here and I look at what Barry Bonds did, and I wish that he hadn't, because I believe that with all of his tools and all of his skills, he could have beaten 61 without using PEDs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also problematic when we start throwing out this idea of clean, because it's ahistorical. What the record book says is that Barry Bonds is the all-time single-season home run record with 73. What reality tells us, Rich, is that 73 balls flew over the fence off of Barry Bonds' bat in 2001. And to do anything other than say that is essentially an assault on the record itself, and I just don't think that the record should be subject to that.
Jeff Passan here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, before I let you go, everything is set, right? Everything's set. We're all ready to roll, correct?
Sure are.
The playoff
ESPN,
matchups.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 games a day potentially. It's going to be awesome.
How about that? And it's amazing that the Mets win 100 games for just the fourth time in their history, and much of their fan base thinks they collapsed, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I'll tell you, they collapsed over the weekend. Like, Mike Vaccaro, my good friend in the New York Post, put it well when he said, it's possible for the Mets not to have collapsed, but to have choked. And over the weekend, you go out there with DeGrom, Scherzer and Bassett, your three starters for a playoff series, and you can't win a single game. That is the power of the Atlanta Braves and why I'm picking them to be back-to-back champions, because the Mets didn't collapse. The Braves just surpassed them.
Okay. All right. Who comes out of the American League? Is it Houston, in your estimation?
It's Houston. Yeah, I think the difference between Houston and all the other teams in the American League far exceeds that between Atlanta and Los Angeles and New York. The best teams in baseball this year in the National League.
I don't know, Jeff. I mean, if the Astros were ready, then Verlander would have struck out 9 in a row. He stopped at 8, and that causes concern for me. Jeff,
what a bum.
I mean, seriously, didn't you not really want to try to strike out 9 in a row? Oh, my God. I mean, and Altuve and Bregman keep hitting.
Honestly, Verlander's a ridiculous story.
No
39
question.
Years old,
unreal.
Coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's going to win the Cy Young.
Oh, unreal. Okay. And then last one for me, if you don't mind. Judge and Ohtani, what is there? I know Ohtani's already signed a $30 million one-year deal, which is wild to avoid arbitration. I've never heard anything like that.
Yep.
Judge, so what is the off-season conversation going to be? Because, you'll hear all sorts of stuff about Ohtani's on the market still and what's going on with the Angels, and obviously Judge is a free agent. Tea leave that for me, if you don't mind.
I mean, I would say those are the two dominant storylines of the offseason. But let's not forget Jacob DeGrom is going to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Turner is going to be a free agent. And Carlos Correa and Dansby Swanson. And, I mean, it's going to be a crazy winter. But, I never discount the possibility that one owner completely blows up free agency and says, I want Aaron Judge on my team and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get him here. I have a tough time seeing Judge being anywhere but in pinstripes. You can't let him go if you're the Yankees. He's the heart of the team. And so I think he will be there. Ohtani, boy, if you're an Angels team that has struggled for relevance since 2015, that still has not gotten Mike Trout a single playoff win, and you have the opportunity to, on the fly, rebuild your franchise by trading Shohei Ohtani, who has 1 year of club control before he hits free agency. You have to really explore that in earnest. At the same time, you'd be the team that traded the most talented player in the history of the game, and that's the sort of legacy no one wants.
Great way to sum it up, as always. Jeff, truly appreciate it. Look for more of my calls and texts in the middle of the night throughout the postseason to have you back on here. Love our chats. Thanks for the time, brother.
I look forward to not responding to them, Rich.
Fantastic. At Jeff Passan. At least we're honest. At least we're straight up with one another right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And as I told Matthew Stafford last week, the most L.A. thing you hear from people is let's hang out, and they don't mean it. So I appreciate the honesty.
Absolutely.
Straight up honesty.
Like you said, he's a Midwest guy. So.
He's a Midwest guy.
Yeah, he kept it very real.
Yeah, he's just like, can you imagine a relationship starts based on something financial? Okay.
Yes, I can.
What? What? Really? What? What's my area code? 310? What?
What's your zip code? 902?
No.
Maybe
no,
not yours
not my zip
in
code.
Particular.
That's
I'm just
not
saying.
My zip code, sir. That's not my zip code. Jimmy Smith's here in studio. That was great. And coming up, Mo Ammer in studio. Hour number three here on the program. When we come back, my highly anticipated,
oft-criticized.
Very much so.
With a drop.
By YouTube people. We do have it.
With a drop.
Fantastic. Not just YouTube people in studio.
Yeah. We want it.
Mostly in studio.
Yeah. We want to see it, Rich.
Power rankings.
I got the power.
Power rankings.
Like Snap, I got the power.
2008. 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program.
My grandpa had 11 kids, about 29 grandkids. Everyone will tell you I was his favorite.
So this Twitter question of like ranking Michigan Yankees Jets, you've got to be kidding me.
Why? It's fun.
Because they're all different. It's all different.
We're a list show now, Rich.
We're
officially a list show.
I understand that, and I'm about to give my power rankings.
You just made the list!
No. They all are different, okay? Like, Yankees is first love, mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, whoa!
Jets, no. Yankees is first love, and I've loved that team longer than other team in my entire life. The Jets came along a little bit later than that, and is part of my portfolio of the unrequited love that has been unfulfilled for five decades. Like again, I texted Eric Stone Street the other night. When Patrick Mahomes, who was dynamite on this program yesterday,
awesome. Yes.
And I tried to use part of our question time with him. I'll just put us in the shoes of what is it like to come up with that play where you're pirouetting, you're Houdini-ing, and then you see somebody in the end zone and you decide, I'll just flip it with my right hand like I'm taking a free throw. And he gives it that whole, you know, he did his best to tell us what instinctively he's thinking as well as outside of the realm of instinctiveness.
Tried to explain something that can't be explained.
Pretty much. I tried to have him do it. But the reason why I bring that up is I texted Stone Street after that play, and I'm like, what does it feel like to have that guy play for your team? Like, I cannot imagine the joy a Chiefs fan must have after 50 years of waiting for him. He's now there. He's now arrived. He is officially as good as advertised and too good to be true. I'm waiting for that to happen to the Jets. Can that possibly be Zach Wilson? You know, like, I'm waiting for those moments to come. And so that's that part of my fandom. You know, the Yankees gave me a ton of championships early, and I'm kind of waiting for some more right now. And then Michigan is middle of my life. Never thought I could ever root for a team like that after, certainly not in the New York area. And it's my collegiate team. So they fill different buckets, different passion buckets, to use the Dan Patrick Show phrase, you know?
So which one is it?
I'm not going there.
From his answer, I'm going to say it sounds like the Yankees. Your first love is something that you never get over.
I got to think that I bet it's Yankees, Rich.
No, you say that, and did you not sit here when Michigan beat Ohio State in the immense joy? I mean, the Yankees, as great as they are and as much as they mean to me, I have not shown up in an auditorium filled with Bostonians and just spoke with my chest like I did in Ohio and been so damn proud of myself.
But that's,
I mean,
Michigan.
Again, it's different. It's different. No. It's different.
It's a little recency bias there.
But it's also different passions, different, you know, it's all different. The same way it's different being a boy dad and a girl dad. It's just different. It's still the same immense amount of love. It's still the same level of love. And I'm not going to choose. How dare you?
More importantly, guys, Jonathan Taylor has been ruled out tomorrow.
How is that more important than this combo we're having about?
Does that mean we should hop on top of the trade that Michael Fabiano offered us?
Here's the
Jonathan
ludicrous.
Taylor handcuff, Nyheim Hines and Derek Carr, and you flip us back.
Hey,
Joe
guys,
Burrow.
Here's Nyheim Hines, but I want Joe Burrow back. Like, okay.
No, but he's also giving us Derek Carr, who's got nothing but upside, one would think, after a dreadful first four games.
He's trying to tug at your I love the Raiders string.
Yeah, well. That's not going to work.
We're not doing it.
But Jonathan Taylor is out for tomorrow night, huh?
Tomorrow night, out. Yeah. Just announced.
Wow.
Also, Rich, you said the Chiefs have waited 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they did have Len Dawson. They did have Joe Montana. They had a few guys.
Len Dawson was the Chiefs' Joe Namath. Okay.
Yeah.
The guy who won the Super Bowl right when the Super Bowl was created. And then you waited. And yes, I had Mark Sanchez, and you could say, well, they had Joe Montana, I had Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez did what Montana did, which was take my team to the AFC Championship. Actually, Sanchez took the Jets to more AFC Championship games than Montana took the Chiefs.
But we're still never going to correlate
the Chiefs and the Jets were quite similar before Mahomes came along. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What did the Chiefs do for 50 years? What did the Chiefs do before
Mahomes
came along?
The Chiefs had way better players before than the Jets.
How many
Hall of Fame players?
With all due respect, how many playoff games did Tony Gonzalez win in Kansas City? Right? Dick Vermeil was there after he won a Super Bowl. But how many long playoff runs did they go on? The Jets had more long playoff runs than the Chiefs in many years. Take a look at it.
I'm going to.
Yeah, also, Chris, I guess the fact that you say the Chiefs have better players.
The Jets had way more playoff wins than the Kansas City Chiefs for a long time. A long time. So, but we're similar. We're similar, and then Mahomes comes along, and it all changes. All of it.
Yeah, that's true.
The Chiefs had a 15-year drought, but from 86 to 97, they made the playoffs eight times.
How many playoff wins did they have? Again, how many playoff wins do they have? The Jets had way more than that. The Jets had more than that with me on the set of NFL Network. The Jets came into San Diego and beat Drew Brees one year in the playoffs. I remember that. because they had a camera on me when it looked like the Jets were about to blow it with some stupid ass roughing the passer penalty. And they were like taking a shot of me to watch me go berserk on the set.
But Marty Schottenheimer era was way more successful than any Jets era ever.
How many playoff wins did they have?
Dude, I mean,
I'm talking about enjoyment of the team and how long and how far did you go?
So 13 win seasons aren't enjoyable?
They were. Oh, regular season, yeah. But in terms of how far, like playoff victory droughts, AFC championship game droughts, you know?
Yeah.
The Jets got closer more often than the Chiefs. Facts. Facts. Come on, man. These are facts, and that you forget it because the Jets are the Jets, and the playoff, you know. And at some point, the football gods decided to say, "Kansas City, you are diehard fans. Kansas City, you love your team. Kansas City, you have come up short so many times, despite having so many great future Hall of Fame players, and now coaches with Vermeil, right? And Schottenheimer might get in one day too,
maybe."
We have decided to end the misery, and you will now have Patrick Mahomes for 15, 20 years and change the entire trajectory. You've already forgotten the 50 years of the Kansas City Chiefs, thanks to his first 5 years in the league. Six.
You know who this conversation's really hurting?
Who?
Bears fans.
Why is that?
Because they should have had Patrick Mahomes for the next 15 to 20 years, and he didn't take him.
Hey, man.
I remember sitting
in the draft that night, and the Eagle and the Chiefs traded up, and we're like, it's Deshaun Watson. We were sitting there on the set. I looked right at Mayock, mm-hmm. sitting in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we all thought that.
We're like, it's Deshaun Watson. Andy Reid's going to get Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Perfect for him.
Yeah.
Perfect for his system. And he goes and gets Mahomes. We're like, what? You traded up for Mahomes? The guy with the Favre comp? The guy with the rocket arm? That guy?
Good choice.
Yeah.
Worked out.
But like I said, if I'm a Bears fan, Andy, I miss both of those guys.
Andy,
like,
did you see that stat that Reid is now three quarterbacks who've won? He's won 50 games with? Alex Smith being the other one?
Wow.
Mahomes is putting Reid in the Hall of Fame. Mahomes is putting himself in the Hall of Fame. Mahomes is putting Kelsey in the Hall of Fame. And obviously, they're all terrific in their own rights, and they could have gotten in themselves as well. But if Reid is stuck with Alex Smith, is he going to the Hall of Fame? Maybe.
Maybe.
Is Kelsey going to the Hall of Fame? Maybe.
First ballot.
Are they all, are they all now first ballot Hall of Famers?
Absolutely.
Mahomes, not yet.
Oh, please.
No.
Mahomes never plays again.
I guess that's the old phrase here. Yeah. I guess that's the old saw. Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Some guys have gotten in the Hall of Fame for just 6 years, too. Terrell Davis, Gale Sayers.
Quarterback different.
Hey, man. Mahomes is a different cat. Position.
Well, Kurt only really had about four good years.
Mahomes is a different cat. You know? So.
Mm-hmm.
That boy good.
Boy, that Twitter thing got me off and running here.
Yeah.
Well, it got me off on a jag about, you know, talking about how these three teams all have, you know, fill different types of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm waiting for that Mahomes moment for the Jets. I've had the moments for the Yankees, and I'm waiting for it to happen again. And Judge going on that run has been a great nostalgia trip for me. And Michigan last year, man, that was great. And Michigan looks loaded for bear again this year. And I cannot wait for November. And I am going to keep writing these checks. Everybody keeps thinking it was just a one-off last year. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it this year. And I'd love to get there undefeated. It would be great. I know you stand in my way in 2 weeks, sir, with Penn State. But enjoy watching it on the big Fox game because that's what Fox does. Fox just wants Michigan because we're all there. Now it'll be four straight weeks by that point. Oh, yeah, because everybody wants to see Michigan, Indiana this week, right? The whole country, they're giving the people what they want.
Everybody?
Right? Clearly, because Fox chooses that game to send Klatt and Gus and
Klatt are there.
Well, Urban can't get enough hanging around Michigan.
As Albert pointed out, Ohio State often plays on ABC. So Big Fox is getting the second game.
Oh, is that right?
I would think so.
All right. Okay.
Whoa.
I don't know about that.
By the way, Rich, to clarify something we said earlier in the week.
I don't know about that.
Penn State actually has, look it up.
I haven't seen them on ABC very much.
Penn State actually has the largest alumni network.
Great. That'll be great.
Before you said it was Michigan.
At least me going on with my start bench. I have a start bench cut with my teams. You've got a start, a bench, a cut,
and two other leagues.
You've got a G League. Why are you in your feelings right now?
You're taking this real personally. I didn't ask the question.
Now suddenly we're going to have to add a pennant of Metropolitans now, 92.
Now because TJ likes more than T.
Bro, man, easy, dog. Ohio State's on ABC this weekend.
Oh, really? Who are they playing? Who are they playing?
Michigan State.
Oh, that's a very good game. That'll be great. That'll be great.
I did Michigan State though.
Michigan State is going to lose.
Oh, they're gonna.
What is that line where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost? Does it start with a two? It's got to start with a two.
By the way, I have a question about
that. It's got to start with a two, and there's got to be another digit after it.
27.
I was about to say it's got to be larger than four. The other digit after.
I mean, your spread is not as big.
Well, it's because it's Michigan, and Michigan in recent history has had issues. You know, what's the word for it? Covering.
Your spread's 22.
I mean. Got it.
Real quick, what part of The Godfather does that Mo Green part? Because I've been watching
Godfather Part 2.
Two, and I'm saying, like,
where Michael goes and he asks who ordered the hit on Frank Pantangeli to Mo Green, and Mo Green tells him this, you know, basically implying that Mo did that. He asked it of Hyman Roth. Yes, Hyman Roth in Miami. Who ordered the hit on Frank Pantangeli? And Hyman picks up on the implication that it was him who ordered the hit. By the way, spoiler alert, true. and Hyman Roth flips it and says, you know, I ran guns and alcohol with your father, you know, and somebody, you know, along with Mo Green. And he created a place called Las Vegas where there's no plaque or a signpost with his name. And he died. He was impetuous.
This is the business we've chosen.
And that's how soliloquy ends, where he tells him, you know, you don't ask who gave the order.
That part.
Because this is the business we've chosen.
All right.
Now we're up to speed.
I like it.
Here endeth the lesson.
Picasso.
No Jonathan Taylor tomorrow.
And no Jonathan Taylor tomorrow. Yeah. And if we can, for the TJ graphic that we have of the pennants of all of his teams behind him, if we can now add the pennant of G League Ignite, that would be great as well. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number three.
You can add me to that, too.
We need the pennant of G League Ignite and Metropolitan 92.
I mean, it all makes sense.
League nobody's ever heard of until this freak showed up last night in Las Vegas.
7 feet, 5 inches tall.
And I'm not talking about somebody in the Blue Man Group.
Victor. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Victor Waka Waka Waka.
No, we're going to talk about that in hour three.
Dude's amazing.
When we come back, my power rankings.
Hey!
I will not be made and turn another segment more. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. When you open a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You are unlocking the potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. You're unlocking potential is what I'm saying. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit that open road, take on any goal you set to help follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure. Check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Because when you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, it lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they're going to take you. 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize. That's how you know a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. It's a Wednesday. It's the NFL season, so it's time for my power rankings. Wait. I do not like the slander of my power rankings from within this house.
So what's that? Is that it?
No, it is not it. I've got more to come. I have not liked the slander because you do your power rankings the way you want them, and I do them the way that I want them, to the point where I have a new drop that will be associated with my power rankings forevermore. That I believe exhibits my passion and zeal for telling you guys to back off.
I'm just saying, it sucks, don't it?
It's time for my power rankings with my new drop.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Perfect. Perfect. It's perfect for his
combining
list.
Combining He-Man and Private Pile.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Perfect.
Cool.
All right.
Are you ready, Brockman?
Here we go.
This is great. Yeah.
Number 10 on my power rankings, entering week number
Las
5.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Type of holes in this
number 10, down 3 spots. I'm not even going to tell you.
Oh, you're doing that?
Down 3 spots.
Down
3 spots. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number 10 on this list. I cannot kick TB12 off the top 10 despite their 500 record and the way that they have looked over the last two games offensively. I am concerned about the way that the defense looked against the Kansas City Chiefs, but maybe by the end of the season we're going to find out that's the way more defenses look against the Chiefs than not. That's why the Bucs are number 10. Number 9 on my list stays right where they had them. And you were like, why are you going to have them there? Why would you have them there? Why would you have them on this list, Rich, when they're 1-2? Well, they're now 2-2. They've dug out of that 0-2 hole. The Cincinnati Bengals are still number 9 on my list. No change. That's what the NC stands for. No change.
Why didn't they move up?
Because there are some other teams that I think are still better than them.
All right.
Just because you win doesn't mean you have to move up.
Kinda. That's the point.
No. Just because the team is lost and they're above a team that's just won doesn't mean that they're should be below them.
Is that how AP rankings
Excuse me. This is my power rankings. There are many like them, but this one is mine.
You can have it.
I'm excited for you.
Number 8 on this list are the Los Angeles Rams, down 3 spots.
Ooh, that's a big drop.
I'm not giving up on this team.
Nah, you shouldn't.
I am not giving up on this team. This team is way too talented at way too many spots, and for some reason they are off on offense. I don't know if Stafford's arm is still bothering him. I don't know what's going on with Allen Robinson.
I
don't
block.
Understand. That's the problem, too. I still believe Les Snead and this team, they're going to get it right on the roster and they're going to get it right coaching. I am not ready to abandon them. They're still one of the top 10 teams in this league that you don't want to see on your schedule this Sunday.
True.
And number 7, new to the list.
A debut.
About time. I know where this is going.
A debut at number
you
7.
You just made the list.
How about them Cowboys?
Hey.
I see how you did that. Playing this Sunday.
I see it. This Sunday, yeah. And they're above the Rams going into this game.
Yeah, I
think they should win this game the way that the Rams are playing right now. And the Cowboys have got the quarterback that's not making a mistake. And CeeDee Lamb is starting to score touchdowns. And Cooper Rush is feeling more comfortable. And they're actually using Tony Pollard in the way that I think they should be using him. And I like the way that they're play calling. And I like that defense. Oh, my gosh, do I like that defense. So the Cowboys are number 7 on my power rankings.
Thanks, Rich.
Number 6, up one spot. Up one spot are the Green Bay Packers. They're still not top 5 yet, but I'm taking a look at this team, and I see the makings of what this offense can look like with these fast young kids that are going to be brought up to speed. And they, once they are up to figurative speed and with their literal speed, look out. I see the Packers in the second half of this season with an offense that is going to be really good. Right now, they're going through some growing pains, and not bad to have growing pains at 3-1. I'll tell you that. Won 3 in a row since losing their opener to the Vikings, and I like the Packers at number 1. Top 5. Up 5 spots on my list.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
San Francisco 49ers are now a top 5 team in the NFL. They showed this week that they've got the Super Bowl stuff if they can put it all together and Garoppolo doesn't turn it over and the defense is doing what they're doing. And this kid, Hufanga, giving them a presence on a back end like that with Fred Warner and that defensive line with Nick Bosa in front. OMG. And Kittle hasn't even started yet. But Debo's doing his thing, and Ayuk is, you know, grabbing Jalen Ramsey's helmet, and Mike McGlinchey is trolling Jalen Ramsey, pointing out Debo Samuel just running 55 yards through him. They got that attitude, and they just did that to the Rams without Trent Williams. We're talking about how the Rams' offensive line is banged up. Arguably the best left tackle in the game is out, and the 49ers look like that against the Rams. They're number 5 on my list. Down 2 spots. Number 4 on the list, the Miami Dolphins, down 2 spots. They're still a top 5 team. I thought what they did in Cincinnati against the number 9 team on my list damn near pulled it off. I think Teddy H2O is going to be just fine while Tua is out. And I'm concerned about the Jets this week. Maybe they pull it off against the Dolphins. Don't know. But to me, they're still a top five team as long as Tyreek and Waddle and Mike McDaniel are all cooking with some form of gas and that defense doing what they're doing. Number three on the list, up one spot, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm still not ready to make them the number one team on my list. Not ready to do it. I'm not ready to do it. You know? Still not ready to do it. And then number two on my list, up one spot, are the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. They're number two on my list, and I still am keeping the Buffalo Bills. I am not ready to take them off number one on my power rankings just yet, and I'm going to give you a little bit of something to front load what you're about to hear soon. Okay? The Philadelphia Eagles are so damn good. They're so damn good, and people didn't expect them to be so damn good.
How good are they?
They're about to enter the realm of the, yeah, but who have they played part of their year?
Oh, yeah.
They're about to enter the, yeah, but who have they played part of their year? And I'm about to use a little bit of that by pointing out the Bills are 3-1. They came and watched a banner raise and owned the night in Los Angeles. They went home and told the Tennessee Titans, you're not only losing here, you're going to be licking your wounds and going home and wondering, you know, what hit you. And the Titans have, to their credit, won two in a row after that. They were out so many name players in Miami. It was 100 degrees, a de facto playoff game, and they almost won that. If they only had 10 extra seconds, they would have. And they go into Baltimore and take the Ravens' best hit and come out with a win there. They played three of their first four on the road, and they're 3-1. They still have 90% of their home schedule coming, and they're 3-1. I'm not ready to take the Bills out of that top spot just because the Eagles are undefeated. They're terrific. And they may have the player that wins the MVP instead of Josh Allen if they keep doing what they're doing. But I'm still keeping the Bills top of my power rankings. Eagles 2, Chiefs 3, Dolphins 4, Niners 5. There you go.
Good list.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Good list.
Yeah, I register.
How about this? Good list, Rich.
Thank you very much, because the Cowboys are finally on it.
Well, that's what I was waiting for.
Right, very good. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial when we come back on this program. A name I've never mentioned. Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
Holy French Batman.
he's next.
All right. How many wins does Jalen Hurts have to get to win MVP?
13.
That low, huh?
13-4 is no slouch.
They have a really easy schedule. I honestly don't know.
They're coming.
Who do they lose to?
Telling you. Well, Arizona's not any slouch either.
They're not that good.
Do you see Kyler Murray's on pace to throw over 700 passes this year?
Yeah, crazy.
And there's something going on between him and Cliff.
I don't think there's anything going on between him and Cliff. And if there is, they better get through it, because both of them are signed very long term there. And Cliff needs to get through it, because Kyler's not the one that's going to be sent away.
Obviously, the Eagles have to play, you know, at Dallas, but, you know, they're home for Green Bay and they're home for Tennessee. Those are kind of their only tough games.
Philadelphia's at Arizona, and then they got the Sunday nighter at home for Dallas before there's a bye, home for Pittsburgh, at Houston, Monday night against the Commanders, at Indianapolis. Who knows what they'll look like at that point in time. There's a Sunday nighter against Green Bay of Thanksgiving weekend. Then they're home for Tennessee, at the Giants, at Chicago, at Dallas, New Orleans, and the Giants at home. I'm telling you, at some point, the concept about the Eagles will be the, yeah, but who have they really played? That's coming.
But if Hurts is still putting up crazy numbers.
I just used a little
numbers,
bit of it just, I mean, for you right there. I think 13 wins.
Yeah, 13, 14, 15 wins, something like that.
13 wins, and Jalen Hurts. But like I told you a couple weeks ago, what was it? There's a new emerging rock star in this league, and it's Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
That was just week two.
Isn't the point to win the games, though,
Rich? I'm telling you, I have the power, guys. I have the power.
I'm going to call you Snap.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.